mean, nothing better than water to drink. Okay. I'm on. Okay, what am I on? Okay, I'm on a chair. And, okay. I want to talk a little bit tonight about would you like another drop of honey? And just to tell you a funny story, the person in the organization in charge of getting the titles, when I told her what the title of the talk would be, she said, "Oh, I just had some." And of course, in my own style, I said, "Oh, you did?" And she said, "Yeah, I just had a cup of tea with honey in it." And of course, being the profound spiritual leader that I am, I said, "Oh," and walked away. Okay. So that might sort of lead you to realize that maybe I'm not talking about that honey, but I'm talking about something really sweet. Okay, and let me preface my remarks by saying, and I'll just speak in the language of the world, that there isn't anything you can do to separate you from God. There's nothing you can do to separate yourself from the spirit you are. Okay? Because of the spiritual reality. And the spiritual reality is that you and God are one and the same. Well, the spirit inside of you is one and the same with you, or as you. Okay? So wherever you are, spirit is. Okay? Because the soul that's in you is spirit and is one and the same as God. Okay? So there's nothing you can do to separate you from God, okay? But I didn't say, hey, you can't live under the illusion of that separation, because that's what human beings do. That's what we do. We live under that grand illusion of separation, okay? And we're separate from God. We're separate from the spirit we are, and we have no responsibility. We have no responsibility, but we do have the responsibility. Okay? And proof is, go to the nearest cemetery. Look at all the gravestone markers. Okay? See if they got off scot-free, not exercising that responsibility or not knowing that responsibility. Okay, they didn't. They just came back again and again and again and again and again and are coming back again and again and again and again until they exercise that responsibility of knowing themselves as spirit. Okay, but hey, you know, spirit's real generous and it's very patient. And God's patience consists of letting us reincarnate as long as we want to. Take all the time you want. You want to be irresponsible? That's fine. In your life as a soul, you want to play the game. Woody Allen is great at this. He made a whole bunch of movies of similar to, you know, hey, if I rob a bank, am I responsible? Is there some spiritual responsibility I have because I went and I committed this crime? Or do I get away with it? Where's the morality here? What's up? You know, and he's a whole bunch of movies. And souls come around and then they elevate to that point where they're going, I don't know, maybe I do, maybe I don't. Okay. But the proof is the gravestone. See? Because what's resting in the grave? But the body. Well, wait a second. If only the body is in the grave, then who are we? Well, we ain't the body, and we ain't going to the grave. You know, I think you got to give God or spirit some more credit than we give them. you know, that he devised a system that makes sense and that has a lot of sense. And it's not like, oh, we live this life, whoopsie doodle, we grow old and we die. Okay, and there's no rhyme, there's no reason. And there's no rhyme or reason to the fact that you had these parents. Oh, that's luck, you know. You're born rich, that's luck. You're born poor, that's luck. You're Asian, oh, that's luck. You know, pure chance, you know. Pacific Islander, oh, that's luck. You're white, you're black, you're green. Oh, it's luck of the draw, you know. And there's no rhyme or reason. And someone's born blind, hey, it's unfortunate. It's terrible. Someone's born with a withered arm or one leg shorter than the other. It's just awful. Some get epilepsy. Some don't. Some have misfortune. Some don't. And it's all the luck of the draw, you know? And we continue in this myth. Oh, it's just blind chance. You know? But what are you doing taking a chance if chance is blind? It doesn't make any sense to me. At least take a chance on chance if chance can see, you know? But the spirit in us can see. And it can see our responsibility and what we have to learn and what we've created. And we can live under the illusion of the separation from spirit and from our own responsibility. You know? And it's real interesting. You know, we as human beings, we love to exercise our humanness with a small h. You know? Oh, well, there's nothing I can do. It was chance. Or, oh, there's an opportunity to make money in a crooked way. All right, I can do that. Yeah, good. I got some money. Good. I don't have to. I'm not. That's okay. No one's going to know. Who's going to know? You know? Hey, I got away with it. Who's going to know? You know? Except when it comes time to leave the body, your soul goes to the place in the inner worlds, and it's showing what it has created, and it won't be fooled. And it's responsible for all its creations. You know? And when it's said in the Bible that ignorance of the law is no excuse, that's entirely correct. Just because you don't know what the law is, that you create karma, you're responsible for it. Just because you don't know that responsibility doesn't mean you're exempt. Oh, well, if we're not exempt, okay, and we're one with the spirit, that means we're pretty powerful. Yeah, okay. Where do we get this power from? From the spirit we are, okay. And what's this stuff about honey? I mean, I see some fine ladies on the street, you know. It would be the first to say, hey, that boy, she's a honey, you know. And then he'll come up to me and say, Dr. Lang, would you verify for me that they were honeys? And I go, yeah, they were honeys. They were nice. They were very nice, you know. So we get two fools going, oh, that's honey. That's honey, you know. But it's not what I'm talking about, okay. What sustains us, okay. Okay, but in the spiritual body, and this is not poetry, I'm not being literate, and I'm not being cute, and I'm not being scholarly, other than as a scholar of the soul. I'm not being anything but being descriptive, and I'm just telling you how it is. Okay? But the spirit inside of you is dripping the sweet nectar. And the soul goes to that nectar. And that's how the soul is sustained. And some of you may have had that experience as initiates of the sound current, of having that drop of honey fed to you, fed to the soul.
and then another drop, and then another drop, and then another drop. You see? And the thing about the drops of honey is that it's not forced upon you, and that if your consciousness isn't in alignment with the spirit, with God that you are, but it's running your negativity. You know, just like the other day, somebody asked me about the event. I said, oh, go ahead and go do it. And they just entered into this whole fear pattern that, oh, it couldn't happen, it couldn't happen, it couldn't happen, you know? Well, why waste my time asking me a question and then running your stuff? Okay? But this is what most people do. Most souls, you know, they will quest to the light on some level, have some awareness towards it. Okay? But then the false self takes over, you see? And the false self is real shrewd. And what the false self does is it'll mock every single attempt you make to taste that honey. It'll mock it. And it uses many forms. What good does it do you? Have you had more money? Are you involved with the perfect person? Whatever it wants to use, and it'll start using measuring sticks that the world uses, status, power, control. It'll use all the bright lights, as it were. And it'll go, you see, it doesn't count for anything. You know? And, you know, I often sit here and I say, well, the world is inside out and backwards. And that means one thing. It means that that which is the most valuable, which is the spirit we are and the soul that we are, and our responsibility to know that, is the least valued here. And the thing that's the least valuable, we value the most. We value fame and power and money, etc. You know, I've shared my experience of how I got that lesson many, many years ago. I can't say how many because, you know, if I'm too old, you won't think I'm a spiritual teacher. So I want to appear young. But anyway, some of you got some real craziness with age and body image and all that stuff. You know? Well, you don't know how it is for women. I don't know. My mother was one. My sister was one. Listen to that crap all the time.
I decided at 11 years old no one's going to see my body because my ankles are too thick.
50 years later, you're still running that stuff.
Oh, you don't know how it is for a woman. That's how we think.
You don't have to be a woman to have an attachment. But you're going to trip over your ankles? At least trip over your feet, you know? Crazy. And so what are you doing? 50 years later, you run that consciousness. You know? I mean, we happen to live in a country that doesn't value old people. I guess they're not utilitarian. They can't do many things. Well, I've sure seen it. People 80 or 90 years old run rings around other people in terms of what they can do. But we don't value that. We don't value wisdom. And we don't value perseverance. But one of the things about this honey, okay, is that once you've tasted only one drop of the nectar, literally of God, that is God, you thirst for it forever and forever and forever. And you will persevere and persevere and persevere and endure through all things for that nectar. Okay, and once again, this isn't poetry or alliteration or anything else like that. Okay, it's a description of the spiritual reality. Okay, it can be called manna from heaven, whatever. Okay, but in the subtle body and in subtle form, that's how the soul is fed and nourished. And here in this, on this planet, you know, which we sit and go,
God, I can't believe that's happening.
Oh, I'm so upset about what's happening in the world. What are you doing about it? I'm sitting here being upset. Well, that's great. And I can't believe this president. I can't believe that. And I can't believe what they do. Why not? Why not? And I'm getting really upset. And I'm really hot and bothered. Why? I mean, it's already been preordained, the destiny of the planet. What the hell are you getting upset about? It's a foregone conclusion. Spiritually, it's already happened. And now we'll just fulfill ourselves through this world. It's already ordained. It's already happened. How long it takes, that's a variable. Okay? Because we all have free will. And we have free will with where we're going to place our consciousness. Okay? It wouldn't be much of a revelation to say that anger can kill you. It wouldn't be much of a revelation to say that you can get cancer real quickly from a bout of anger. It wouldn't be much of a revelation to say that your diseases are exactly that. They're dis-ease. That you haven't dropped in the place that is called the peace that passeth all understanding. Where the ease is. That's how you ease on down the road. You drop back into the spirit inside of you. And you sit there and you're fed the honey. And that's how you're sustained, see? The physical form needs food, or so it thinks. Okay? The breatharian obviously disputes that and proves that that isn't so, but most of us think we need food. So we go and we eat food and we sustain the physical body. And we have emotions, and we never stop to think, are they positive or negative? But we have emotions, so we're always occupied in the emotional body, in that causal body. And God knows how many thoughts we have a day. You know, it said we have between 2,000 and 3,000 thoughts a day. From those scientists that have monitored that. See, obviously they never dealt with Howard. Just go one, put down one for every day, and you know Howard's having a brainstorm. Okay, so I have no idea, okay, how they get to 2 or 3. Thank you, Howard, for letting me pick on you. Okay, and so we're busy with the mental body, and we're busy, okay? I didn't know the soul's in us. I didn't know we have one. I thought God was up there, you know, and we need a clergy or a middleman or a church or a building or something like that. No, it's inside of you. Oh, and what are you doing to sustain it? What's fulfilling it? Well, I don't know. I don't have to do anything. Or I go to church once a week, you know. I get lifted. Well, yeah, you get lifted. But in a 50-story building, letting the elevator take you to the third floor, it's not that spectacular a feat. Okay. You mean I have to get lifted? Eventually. You mean I have to know myself as spirit? Eventually. You mean I can't use reference points in this world? No. You mean I'm going to go before God one day? Yeah. You mean I'm going to go before God one day and he's not going to judge me? No. Well, wait a second now. What have I been doing? You've been following a God that you think judges you. Okay, but how can God judge you? It's judging himself. We're of the same material, you see? You know, the interesting thing is that it's like there's almost a framework set up that I have to prove this is so to you, okay? And yet, if we were living in the fulfillment of who we are, you would have to prove to me that it's not so, you know? But things are so distorted that I have to almost come up with verifiable proof that it's so. But I have come up with verifiable proof. And those of you who wish to have it verified, simply do the spiritual practices as taught, so that you can verify the truth objectively, not based on dogma or hearsay, but your experience of the truth, okay? But you can't do that if you don't know that there's honey sustaining you and you're nurtured and cared for. And when you think of this thing called human life with all its trials and tribulations and seeming difficulties, underneath it all, there's a sweetness in human life. And what's the sweetness? For some people, it's a sneeze. But for most people, it might very well be that inner connection with the spirit they are and with the sound current or with the Holy Spirit inside of themselves. And their moments of utter surrender and utter peace. And where they've been at one. And usually it comes upon them when they least expect it. And we all strive, you know, it's like we have this ideal, like we should feel happy. Why? Why should you feel happy? Why should you feel fulfilled? Why are you shitting on yourself? I mean, it's kind of cute and kind of nice, and nothing bad, in quotes, is supposed to happen. You know, I love that one. Something terrible happened. Where's God? I can't believe God did this to me. You know? It's like we got this puerile image that everything is our version of good. And that if I fall down and break my nose, wow, that's a terrible thing. And we never think that, hey, maybe that's the fulfillment of something that was set into motion a long time ago. And we never think that, hey, thank God I broke my nose, because I was supposed to break my skull, have my head cracked open, and be seriously damaged for the rest of my life. That was my karma, and it got mitigated through grace. We don't think of that. We go, oh, it's a terrible thing that happened. Isn't this awful? And we never want to identify with ourselves as soul, and that we're responsible, and that it's for learning and for our growth and for our upliftment. And we never want to see our part in it, but we just want to see that it's been done to us. You know? And so, you know, I took a vacation recently, some vacation, but anyway, I took this vacation, and I was sitting there, and there was an outdoor place where you could get drinks and food, etc. And this little girl, was following her mom, and she was like a step behind her mom, and she misstepped, and she fell. And smack, you could hear her nose cracking for I don't know how many yards. And just cracked. Broke her nose. And they couldn't stop the bleeding, and they had to rush her to the hospital, et cetera, et cetera. You know? And everybody was very upset, et cetera, et cetera. And everybody's that was the talk of the whole area for quite a while. And isn't it terrible, and isn't it terrible, and isn't it terrible, okay? Now, I'm not suggesting this was a wonderful thing to happen, and thank God it happened. But on the other hand, thank God it happened. Okay, because the karma was very different. And that fulfilled the karma. So we need to start seeing ourselves as spirit, as soul. We need to not identify with our immediate physical environment. And we need to see that we are at the point of responsibility, and that what we've put out comes back around. And the trick is to identify yourself properly as spirit. And that's why I have a lot of giraffes around here. God consciousness. Put your consciousness in God or with spirit and walk through all that stuff and don't judge it. Don't judge it. Because if we go, oh, that shouldn't have happened, what you're saying is God did something he wasn't supposed to do. He made a mistake. And somehow I'm outside of God's vision. I'm outside of God. And I'm the only one, you know, which this is true, which God has made a mistake. Or the spirit that I am makes a mistake. God will not be mocked. The spirit in you does not make a mistake. See, that's crucial. Yeah. It happened. Deal with it as neutrally and as best as you can and get on with your life without the judgment about what happened. You don't know why it's happened. What are you going to do? Go up in the spirit and locate your karmic records and go see? You have zero ability to do that. If you're judging yourself, and if you had the ability to do that, guess what? You wouldn't judge yourself. Okay, so key to living this life is really acceptance. You don't have to like it, but accept it. Yeah, this happened. I may not know the cause, but I know I'm at the effect of it. And maybe this happened as a blessing. Maybe. I lost my job. I went broke. How's that a blessing? Real easy. Maybe if you'd continued, your health would have deteriorated beyond repair. Maybe you had to learn about not identifying yourself as your work. Maybe you had to learn what else was important in this life. I used to be rich. Now I have nothing. What'd you have before? Money. Okay. And what did that do for you? Well, hey, that's connected with having some power and status, and I'm better than you, etc. Yeah, but what did it do for you? Oh, maybe there's some other things of value. You mean maybe I had to learn that I'm valuable regardless of how? Yeah, could be, huh? Could be. I'm valuable regardless of how much money I have or don't have. See, the nice thing about me is I know I'm going to be the same. Whether I'm driving a Rolls Royce or a Saturn. Well, no, I couldn't drive a second. I can't even get into those things, but some car that I could get in. Okay, it doesn't matter. It's not who I am. And yet so much of the world does that to itself. Okay? And just earlier today was talking about the case of the kid who was here in this country. And no, he shouldn't be sent back to his country because his country is poor and he won't be so happy. But here he'll be happy because we have more things here. He'll have more things. Well, I'm not sure what that does. You have more things, okay? See, and I've never seen people really be happy. Okay, we're allowed to pursue happiness. That's an American right. Pursuit of happiness, okay? This is nothing about having it, okay? Okay, but I do know that when you're in the place inside of yourself where you sit in spirit, and with the spirit you are, and allow yourself to be fed, and fed the nectar of spirit, then you're moving into joy. And I'll take joy any day. And the nature of the soul is joy. That's our innate state. Joy. And no wonder people are so miserable. They're miserable to themselves. They're miserable to each other. You know, now we're seeing in the world that, hey, you can be the same religion. You can be the same people. And you can be mortal enemies. You know, at least be a different religion. Be a different member of the race, you know, or a different race. Now, if you're going to hate, now we don't even bother. It's like, okay, you're the same people, you know, same religion. I hate you, okay? And we're miserable to each other, and we're miserable to ourselves. Okay? Because we don't respect the spirit that we are. And living in ignorance is no excuse. Okay? And we need to build a foundation of strength inside ourselves. That's where the foundation is. The foundation is inside ourselves. It's nothing the world can ever take away. You know? And it's interesting to me that I always sort of look at these things with a real quizzical eye, that so many people who've undergone persecution, as a group of people, they've come to value, let's say, education, or they had access to, let's say, minerals or certain kinds of things that easily could be transported when they had to flee. Oh, that'll do the trick. That'll save me. Well, I've seen it not save. Because I've seen them come to countries where all their education didn't translate or wasn't accepted. Or they were blocked from those professions where they could use those minerals or things that they had carried with them and hidden away in their person in order to start a new life in a country. And they weren't able to do that. And the foundation was always outside themselves. They were always building a foundation, removed from themselves. But the foundation is within us. And the more we build that strength based on a drop of honey, one drop, another drop, another drop, another drop. See? Then we have a foundation of the attunement to the spirit we are. And being fed and being sustained, regardless of what our spouse is doing, regardless of anything out in the world, regardless of what people think. I mean, people are real geniuses, what they say and think, aren't they, huh? I mean, they got real clear shots, real clear vision, you know? Listen to them, boy, you'll go far, you know? They're just talking out of their karmic field. Okay. But when we say stay in the spirit, then guess what? Then we're supported and we're nourished and we're taken care of. And that's all you need in this world. A drop of honey. Okay. And I offer anyone who wants to give it a shot that ability, that opportunity to taste the sweet honey and to come to know it and to build its foundation in you and to build your foundation in it and to strengthen yourself and to come to know yourself as spirit, as eternal, as the immortal beings that you are, as soul, as spirit, as someone who knows the body and all that goes with it winds up in the grave, but the soul you are goes to God, goes to the spirit you are, and knows, and this is crucial, that it goes through grace while you're in the body now. And that's the honey, being with God, being with the spirit you are while you're in the body. Because the simple truth is, as was said at the beginning, you can't do anything to separate yourself from God. But you can live as long as you want to pretending that what I just said ain't so. It's your choice. And you'll get lots of support in the world for your choice. Okay? But I'm suggesting you try taster's choice, you know? Taste real good, this honey. Give it to yourself. Give it a shot. What do you have to lose? Your bondage? Your chains? Okay, and the simple truth is that we are created free. And humans, being humans, we're afraid of this truth. And we're afraid of the power. But it's our responsibility to live in this freedom. And I offer that to you. And we'll stop with that.